Welcome to Recovery Talks, a Fairbanks podcast where experts from Fairbanks Treatment and Recovery Center, located in Indianapolis, Indiana, take time to discuss unique aspects of addiction, substance use disorder, and recovery, as well as other relevant issues with our guests. I'm your host, Kathleen Gill. I've worked at Fairbanks since 2007, and I am a woman living in long-term recovery. Today on Recovery Talks, we are joined by David Leap, the outpatient clinical supervisor at Fairbanks. Thank you so much for being here, David.
No problem. Thank you, Kathleen.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started at Fairbanks and what you're doing.
So yeah, I got started with Fairbanks actually as an intern back in 2011. Did a year-long internship placement there and got hired in immediately after graduation, which was really awesome. And I've been working there ever since. Started off as our inpatient float counselor for about 6 months, then did PHP for almost 4 years, and have been in the clinical supervisor role for pushing 3 years as well.
Fantastic. So describe to us what intensive outpatient services are.
Intensive outpatient services, or IOP as we like to call it for short, is a program that's really designed for individuals with mental health, addiction types of behaviors going on to get back into the real world. It's really designed for people going back to school, going back to work, whatever, just to have a little bit of that extra support, some structure, and work on the recovery from that type of standpoint.
So this is after they have been inpatient and through the detox program?
Correct. Or they could also be a direct admit into that. So maybe they haven't quite hit that full need to do an inpatient type of a stay. You know, maybe they've gotten a couple DUIs and their lawyer encourages them to get, you know, ahead of some things and look at having some treatment, some resources to help them out with their legal situation, get some education, things like that. So we get some people kind of anywhere from there all the way up to after they've needed, again, that inpatient type of a feel.
Okay, great. So we are living in an ever-changing world, and I understand that Fairbanks has launched an online IOP approach.
That is correct.
So tell us about that.
Online IOP is a new opportunity. Again, we're looking at how can we best reach those people who need some extra help. And one of the things we've realized over time is that several of our clients, even though IOP tends to be about 9 hours a week, sometimes their work schedule just doesn't work out well with that. Maybe they work second shift and try to do a morning IOP or evening IOP just isn't conducive with their schedule. Maybe it's a client that they want to stay connected with Fairbanks and they've not been able to traditionally do so because they live too far away. Different things like that. College students, you know, if they're in college and they have some issues going on and they need some extra help, sometimes them, you know, leaving school and all that type of stuff may not be as conducive as well and lose some structure. So, you know, it's really designed to help look at some different ways to get clients involved, get some help in ways that have not been an opportunity before. So that's really kind of the basis of that. We also like to use it as an opportunity for individuals who maybe are a little bit worried about some confidentiality aspects. So maybe it's a big business owner, or maybe it's somebody that works in the legal system, where they've got clients who may be in our actual programs as well. So it's a way to kind of avoid some of that conflict of interest as well and keep them still in some anonymity as well.
Great. So you mentioned that the standard outpatient programming, intensive outpatient programming, is 9 hours a week. What does that 9 hours typically look like?
So in a traditional IOP, that 9 hours consists generally of about 7.5 hours of actual group therapy and about 1.5 hours of education throughout the week. Looking at our adult programming, you know, Monday and Tuesday, they have group therapy from 6 to 9 at night or from 9 to 12 in the morning. And then on Thursdays for evening programming, we have our family program that has an educational component. So family is able to come and get some education as well as their client. Unfortunately, just because of how work schedules, again, offer or typically go, we do not have any kind of family programming for our daytime one. We also allow our families to come to that evening program if for that lecture and things as well if needed. So that's kind of how the typical one works. So they get a lot of time to in that 7.5 hours to process, go over some education within the group itself, to share homework assignments, just to to kind of check in and really feel what's going on. And again, use that peer support that's going on in the program as they're, again, returning back to work or school or whatever else is going on in real life.
So with the online, is it a group setting or is it purely individual counseling?
Yeah, this is what makes it really different. So this is actually our program where we're going to be more individualized. It is set up where clients are watching online modules from trusted professionals in the field that go over various topics. So they spend a good portion of their time actually watching these video modules online. And then they have approximately once a week, an hour, either session for therapy or case management. And there's a little bit of opportunity to kind of do a little hybrid between the two, but typically an hour for them to interact with a counselor one-on-one over the internet and use a video kind of chat opportunity with them.
Okay.
So then that really means that they're able to maybe share some things that they typically wouldn't in so much in a group. They can go a little bit deeper, a little bit further. And then the counselor just has them as that individual captive audience to really address some of those types of things.
Okay. And then from a family aspect, is there any way to bring in the family into an online IOP?
Yeah, actually, family or some type of an accountability partner is a major requirement for the program. We like to have them have somebody that can kind of keep their eyes on them and help provide some extra support and structure for them as well. So this person maybe will go to some open meetings with them, may help them watch some of the video modules or talk about some of the process questions that come up with those video modules and just kind of have that extra support for them. The counselor is also supposed to be able to check in with the family as well and see if the family has any kind of concerns. So the families who are involved in this have the opportunity to watch, like I said, all those modules as well. So the family can go in and get a lot of education and knowledge from this program too, which is pretty cool.
Okay. So you mentioned that the typical IOP or intensive outpatient programming is a 6-week course. How does the online program work?
Yeah, so the online program is similar in some ways. It does have a little bit more flexibility, but that's also because there's actually more sessions across with it as well. Our typical IOP, just standard by itself, is about 18 sessions. And the online session or online IOP is about 25 sessions. And that's just to make sure everybody's getting really the source material that they need to out of that. So it extends a little bit longer. That being said, a client can still finish the online IOP in approximately 6 weeks on the fast end. And on the long end, they need to finish within about 9 weeks.
How do you determine whether online IOP or the traditional outpatient programming is the best fit for a client?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of case-by-case situations that make that determination, again, just a long process to figure out what it needs to be. One of the things we really want to look at, though, for someone doing the online IOP, again, is really is there a need or a barrier that online would be able to overcome that live services would not. Research and insurance really likes the idea of that group therapy model for early addiction treatment, so that's why still live IOP is one of those programs that we push very hard as well. And we would like to see those clients being able to build relationships with other people. That being said, if we run into that confidentiality type of issue or somebody worrying about their anonymity, this again opens up another opportunity. And again, we're going to push them going to 12-step meetings or other self-support groups to help with that. So that's one thing we have to look at is, again, where does that confidentiality part play into a place? Another one's going to be, again, if they've got good family support or, again, some type of an accountability person. Somebody who is living alone in a hotel, not really a great idea for online IOP. Somebody who is in college, on the other hand, where they may not have family there, but they've got a roommate in the dorm that's, you know, willing to kind of help out and just make sure, yeah, they're watching these modules is fine. Or if they've got an RA that's able to assist with some of that type of thing. So those types of situations, again, become another big factor into it. Transportation can be one. So again, maybe the client can't get to us routinely. So if transportation is now the issue, then that makes a great candidate for online IOP, again, particularly, again, if they're not living alone or have some additional support and structure that they can have some type of accountability with.
But you say that insurance does cover the online?
Yeah, most of the typical insurance that companies that we're able to use for our IOP services will cover this as well. The one that is going to be an option that where online IOP is not going to be a possibility will be any of the Medicare type of placements. So that would also include Anthem Hip. So unfortunately, clients who have that are not at this time eligible for online IOP, so they would have to do a live IOP with us or be referred to another program.
And of course, self-pay is always an option.
Yes, self-pay is also an option.
Okay. So what are you seeing the effectiveness of online IOPs?
Yeah, with it still being as new as it is, we have not had a lot of clients come through the program to the point where they've completed it yet. We are finding, though, again, that it's got a lot of just convenient pieces of it. You know, if a client's unable to sleep one night, it's an opportunity for them to go on and just, you know, watch some of those modules and have something to do. We've had some clients where, you know, again, life situations happen and they're able to just do a lot of focus on this within a few days rather than, you know, three times a week making that designated time. So from those perspectives, we've definitely had a lot of positive feedback from the clients, really enjoying that. On the other hand, some of the other concerns we've had with it is if there's been connectivity issues with the cameras and things like that. That did happen early on. We've been able to work through that, so we've not had any of those issues lately, which is really good and something we hope for continuing clients moving forward. But some of those things were early learning curve things that we just didn't know were going to happen.
Sure.
That being said, you know, with the clients we've had some completion with or clients who are nearing completion at this point, it has been positive feedback and they've enjoyed their experience and learning a lot. I think that they, again, feel a little bit more free to talk about whatever's really going on because they know they're not having to worry about other people hearing certain things.
Right. I can imagine that that would be beneficial.
Yeah.
So how does one get enrolled?
So if someone getting enrolled in online IOP would kind of do the same thing that most of our other clients do, they would need to contact our access department, have an assessment, and follow up with whatever recommendation happens first. So maybe they're not appropriate for IOP at that point. They do need to detox. So then they could do that. Or if they need PHP, partial hospitalization, they could do that. But once they are appropriate for an IOP level of care, whether again as a step down or direct admit, they'd be able to be placed into that program. At that point, if they are currently within our program, they would get together with me and I would give them a kind of orientation folder, give them some drug screens and mouth swabs to be able to take home for the drug aspect of accountability there. And that's, again, where family comes in really is a big help, is they can help with those drug screens and those mouth swabs, as well as they can do those on the camera with the counselor as well for the mouth swab part of that. And then once they have those materials and all that, we kind of get them set up with the online system that they need and they get information on how to register and everything. Once they get their account information emailed to them, they're able to go and start watching the videos. If they are direct admit, they will get the same information, the mouth swabs, the drug screens from the access staff, and they will follow kind of the same suit at that point. But if there's somebody who's already getting involved in our program, I will meet with them and get them that information as well.
Very good. And then once they are enrolled, I know you said there was 18 to 25 hours and they're going to be watching videos. Kind of walk me through again, if you would, the once they are enrolled, what can one expect?
Yeah. Once one gets enrolled, you know, it's pretty open for them to get started pretty quickly. Once they have their account, they can get into the system, log in, and start watching the modules. We do have it set where they can't, you know, go through that program before the 6 weeks. Like I mentioned, you know, it has to be at least 6 weeks. But they can start watching as many video modules as they have access to from day one. And then again, like I said, about every week or so, up to a couple times a week, depending on the particular schedule of where they're at in the program, they would have a case management session or counseling session with the counselor. And so, yeah, they watch so many modules up to that point, then the counselor would have the session with them, and then they're free to watch kind of that next set of modules moving forward. So on and so forth. And again, we would also be encouraging them to, again, attend 12-step meetings or other self-help support groups in the meantime as well. So kind of have all that going on. And then, you know, again, some contact with family and having them involved as much as possible too.
For the traditional IOP, there is a recovery management program that people are eligible to participate in once a week. Is there anything like that offered for the online participants?
Yeah, so what we like to refer to with that is if they are local, and again, it was a issue related to time frame or whatever, if they have a time frame that will work out for them to attend our live recovery management, then we offer that. If they're out of the area, we try to help them find a place in their local community that they can still get connected to a recovery management type program. So at that point, it's really kind of up to the client how much they want to commit to doing that. But we do offer and encourage that because, again, we find that the more they're involved in their early recovery, the better their chances are for long-term success.
Indeed. So why do flexible recovery programs matter?
I think they matter because, again, it allows us to target a new base of clientele that maybe haven't been able to have some of that success before, or possibly maybe during a time frame that would have been beneficial for them that they maybe wouldn't have had in the past. So again, looking at a college student, when we've had college students enroll in a lot of our life programming, they are having to dismiss themselves from school or miss class time for engagement in actual programming. So now we're taking where they already have some structure. Maybe it's not the best structure they could have, but some structure, removing that structure to replace it with another structure, but it's also causing problems with both structures because a lot of times they're not fully engaged in the live IOP or a higher level of care while they're still in school. So a lot of times they're trying to compete with which one's more important. And so again, with this, again, focusing on the college students, here's an opportunity where they're not having to withdraw from classes. They don't have to miss their class. They can do this later at night after they're done with their classes and homework and get ready for bed. They can do it first thing in the morning. It's really flexible for them in that aspect. So that makes it a very interesting perspective. One of the online clients we've had has been a business owner. And so for him, the opportunity to manage his business and do a live IOP was not super convenient. And so this allowed the opportunity for him to be involved in this program, do what he needs to do, and also maintain his business and not have to miss important meetings and things like that.
Just out of curiosity, have you discussed taking this into the prison system? Or
we are looking at a few different opportunities. I don't know if we have fully considered that yet. I don't know officially if there's any kind of concept on how well we can get this into a prison system again, because it has to be a secure environment for them to be able to work out of a little bit for that one-on-one counseling and case management session, as well as online opportunities. So I don't know, honestly, without having discussions with the legal departments and things like that, how easily this would be. I know one of the things we are looking at is going out and outreaching to some of the local colleges and things in the area and letting them know we have the service, and also pairing it with our Prime for Life service, which is an educational program that's not quite treatment heavy focused yet.
That I would imagine that that would be a tremendous opportunity on the college campuses. Who do you find your ideal candidate to be for online IOP?
I think our ideal candidate is someone who is going to be driven and self-motivated. Our counselors for this program do follow up with the clients, but again, if they're waiting, kind of putting everything onto the weekend, I don't know that that's the best learning route for them. So somebody who's driven, motivated, and willing to kind of maintain. It's really highly encouraged that somebody does this for approximately about an hour a day. And I think that's where they get the best learning in from. So I think that's going to be a big part of it. And again, other aspects are going to be just some of those other things we already talked about. You know, do they have reliable transportation or not? And if they don't have it, then that makes a good candidate. Do they have that accountability source at home? If so, then yes, that makes a good candidate.
When you talk about the accountability partner or the family involvement, you know, the disease of addiction certainly affects the entire family.
Absolutely.
What do you think loved ones should know about someone fighting addiction or living in recovery?
I think family, just in general, the more educated they get with this, the better they are. I think they need to realize that, again, it is a family disease, so it is not just their loved one who is seeking our services that is being impacted by this. I think the more that they can stay appropriately involved with the counselors and the support system that this person is working with, the better. And just learning, you know, better ways on communicating, better ways of giving their loved one a chance to build some trust and success, while at the same time not just blindly trusting. For example, you know, if a client says, you know, hey, can I have some gas money, like make sure they bring the gas receipt back and make sure that all the money there is accounted for. But at the same time, if you never give them that chance to go purchase gas, how are they ever gonna have that chance in the first place?
Right.
So just things like that. And I think just too that the more that family learns that, you know, this is a lifelong aspect that the individual in recovery is having to deal with will be important as well. If they don't have that understanding and think that their loved one's just going to come to treatment and get cured, the family's setting themselves up for failure as well. So just knowing that it's a lifelong battle, it does get easier over time. At the same time, family needs to know that things can always happen.
And also that recovery is possible. While there are a lot of people out there that relapse is very much part of their story, when the individual suffering with substance abuse disorder, if they have the support and a good relationship within that family unit, that is instrumental to success as well.
Absolutely.
So, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about the online IOP or IOP in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think they are, again, both great programs. Again, it's just, it's looking at different niches on what it's there for. But again, both of them are strong. They've got good curriculum for each individual. It's got a lot of chance that whether it is, again, a live IOP where they're in groups where they do get a lot of individual attention within that. And also, again, with they're in the online IOP, they're going to get just a different type of individual attention with that. So, yeah, I think they're, like I said, both good programs. It's going to give people a very good chance of success in working their early recovery program, as well as giving them the ability to develop lifelong bonds with people, kind of going through the same thing again in that live program. And if, again, they're on the online one, going to meetings, it still gives them that same chance to have those lifelong bonds. So either way, as long as they're connecting those different ways, it's a really awesome opportunity for them to make good choices moving forward.
Indeed. And of course, there's always volunteering and alumni association membership that Fairbanks offers. Fairbanks is on the verge of celebrating 75 years of being in business here in the Indianapolis area. And there's a lot of people that have found help in their initial steps into recovery.
Absolutely.
In Indianapolis.
Awesome.
David, thank you so much for joining me. At Fairbanks, we like to say, together we can. And that's an open-ended statement that means we can do more and overcome more when we do it together. To end our podcast today, we'd like to know how you would finish that statement. So together we can
create and restore hope.
I like that very much. This has been Recovery Talks, a Fairbanks podcast. If you or a loved one needs support in the journey of recovery, the experts at Fairbanks Treatment and Recovery Center can help. Visit our website at fairbanksrecovery.org for recovery resources or call 800-225-HOPE for immediate help. Thanks for listening today.